It's a work in progress. That's the beauty of alternative media, interactive media. Is, you know, we still have standards of veracity. We want to get things right, but if we hesitate too much, we don't link up with each other. So, what are you doing here today, Wendy Ake?
I'm working on the Fair Food campaign in Columbus, Ohio. I work on a lot of social justice issues in Columbus, Ohio.
Can you tell me about working with other groups, building a coalition?
I work with Columbus immigrant community in solidarity with them, and I work as part of my work with a lot of different issues in Central Ohio.
So, we have more this time than last time. Susan said last time there were one person, her, or maybe you. I'm not sure who it was, but today we have 2, 4, 6, 8 people, maybe?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I know it's not a numbers game, but any ideas how to build this up, get more people out here?
Yes. Central Ohio Immigrant Justice, which is the group I work with, was contacted. So I think the word is growing. Ohio Fair Food, I think, is the group that contacted the group I work with. So I think last week was the first event, and this is the second call, so I think it's already grown. So more and more groups are going to be coming out. Ruben's organization, Shalom Center, I think, is another group that will be joining in. I think he said that he's been asked to be more involved in the statewide campaign. The Kroger headquarters are in Westerville, so Columbus is probably going to be more and more of an active hub for this movement.
Why this site? I was thinking when I got the email that it might be better if it went to the Short North. A lot of students there. It's closer to downtown.
Right, there's more students. This is also a university store. It's located, very close to community. This is a place where a lot of migrant students live. The Short North location is another target because of the student community. Students tend to be engaged in social issues, not as much as they should be, probably, given the number. But again, the suburban communities, where there's also a lot of Kroger stores, should be more engaged in these issues as well. Everyone should be involved in these issues because food issues are something that people are more involved with, but tend to not be engaged with labor issues surrounding their food. People are mainly engaged with health issues and maybe chemical inputs into their food, but not so much with the labor and human issues involved in their food.
So to make that connection, maybe connect with people's hearts and minds by way of palates and stomachs.
Right. But the organic movement and local food movements tend to ignore human and labor issues in their food and privileges chemical inputs and health issues into their foods.
And it's definitely not one or the other. The organic movement is great, as is the local food movement, but we can bump it up a notch.
Right. It needs to look at the holistic movement. And early on when the food movement started, contemporaneous with the environmental movement back in the 70s, all of these issues were looked at. But when the FDA began to articulate its standards for the organic movement, it looked specifically only at the chemical inputs into the foods. And so the human element and the human rights standards began to be marginalized.
What do you think of the food issue as a way to connect a wide variety of issues? I think you just probably already said it, human rights, immigration issues, issues of peak oil, climate change, and just general environmental issues. A nice way to connect environmentalism and social justice. The reason why I ask is some activists I've spoken with said connecting environmental and social justice is a good way to build a mass movement, and that mass movement may be able to counter a lot of the corporate power that seems to have concentrated in our political process. What do you think of that?
I think it's not just a strategic issue, but actually it's the way to actually talk about these substantive issues, and it's the only responsible way to deal with these issues in a long-term way. And so it's not just a strategic point to make in our activism as activists and responsible people, but it's just the only way to really talk about these issues responsibly as activists.
Anything else?
And the most marginalized people are the people who most are impacted by these issues in a global context. So when we have global warming, for instance, the people most impacted are the most marginalized populations globally and in our own backyards in a local community.
What's fascinating is how people can connect what's going on in this country, whether you're an American farmer who's gone out of business, trying to compete unsuccessfully with some of the bigger the corporate farms, or whether you're a laid off factory worker somewhere in Michigan or other parts of the country. Somehow that process can connect with sweatshops maybe in Bangladesh, or what's happened in terms of Indian farmers in India.
Right. I mean, all of these local issues are global issues. I mean, the boundary that sometimes gets drawn between what's a domestic issue or what's a local issue and what's a global issue is really fictitious and non-existent. So, for instance, what sometimes gets described as a local immigration problem, quote unquote, is not really a local problem or a domestic problem. It's really a global international phenomena. So what's talked about as an immigration issue is really a global migration problem. It's rooted in international structural issues like trade relationships that are set by the IMF and WTO, and set up problems like, for instance, that touch down in international patterns of, for instance, the corn, you know, subsidy prices that are fundamentally about trade processes that get set up between NAFTA problems, for instance.
Does it affect the Mexican farmers you're talking about?
Not just between Mexico and U.S., for instance, but also globally, and seeds, which, you know, sets up problems and patterns of migration between Mexico and the United States, for instance.
Thanks. Anything else?
Nope.
Thanks, Mundy.
Thank you.
You know, that happens all the time. People say, well, I don't want to talk, I don't want to say, and then they end up just... I end up being a student listening. Appreciate it. Thank you. And this is WCRS Columbus. We are at Ackerman and Olentangy, Friday, August 26th, and it is an engagement with the community about Immokalee workers' effort to get the grocery chain Kroger to pay 1 cent more for the produce, so as to improve the working conditions and the lives of the workers that bring us our food.